was glad
when they said, let us. Better is one day, just one day worshiping God, you know, than a thousand elsewhere. I love that song, and I love how worship comes together. You know, sometimes it was kind of, to me, anyways, it started off, and there's a couple things that, you know, that weren't quite in tune, and one might be too loud, one might be too soft, and but little by little, the Holy Spirit keeps moving and keeps working and keeps pressing us into the direction of worship. And, you know, God's never impressed with how good we are at singing or how good we are at playing the drums or any of that kind of stuff. But what God really wants is just our hearts and just to worship Him. And I love how God brings that together. And, you know, sometimes we stumble along at first and then things start to come along a little bit. And then suddenly we just join our hearts in worship, and I really sense that today. I just sense that, you know, maybe there's some new songs, or there's songs that aren't your favorites, or they are your favorites, or it doesn't matter. You know, after a while, it doesn't become about what our preferences are. It's about how I can filter this through my heart and then return it back to God. And I love doing that with you. I love singing with you. I love worshiping with you and just declaring that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we're here to worship Him. And the theme of love, you know, came through so clearly today in worship, how we're loved by God. And you are. You need to hear that today. I think there's a reason why those songs were chosen. You need to be reminded of that, that God really loves you. Not just kind of loves you, but God really, really loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus. He loves you so much that He allowed His Son to die so that your sins and my sins could be completely taken away. We could be exonerated from sins that are actually mine. I own them. I'm responsible for them. I did these things. But because of Jesus, and because Jesus died for us, He bore the punishment for my sins. You say, thank you, God? Thank you, Lord. And it is such evidence of God's love for you. And God loves Russell. He loves you as much as He loves me. And I was listening to a guy this week, and I have this CD that plays, you know, about every month. And he just said, you know, God loves you because He loves you, 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 because He loves you. And he says, you know, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. You can try to be the good kid. You can try to be, you know, the perfect saint. You can't do anything to make God love you more. But neither can you do anything to make God love you less. Because He loves you, because He loves you, because He loves you. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate that we have a Savior who loves us, and that is the message we need to get out to the world, right? That's the power of the gospel that God's given to people of potter's hands as we bring this message to the streets. God loves you. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your addiction is. It doesn't matter what your police record is. God loves you. And he can't stop loving you because you are His daughter or you are His son. And there's power in that gospel message. The only way that any of us ever change is if we receive and believe in the love that God has shown us through Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you, God. So we just pray today. Let's pray, God, that Your Spirit would move here, that You'd have Your way. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to do whatever You want to do. We pray that You will just change our hearts today, God, that our hearts will be conformed to You, that we will be ready to listen to You, God, that we will worship You with open hearts, and that You will give us a passion and a zeal for the living God. Hallelujah. We believe that You are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we give You glory, God. And I pray that every one of us today would take with us the amazing love that You have for each of us. Wow. That You would love me, a sinner like me, that You would love me enough to send Your Son
that you would transform my life, that you would declare me righteous and forgiven. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Thank you, God. I pray that you'll be with Ken and Frida as they bring the message today and as they share a story of their trip to Costa Rica coming up in a few weeks, Lord. And we'll hear more about the love of Christ and how you're moving that with that message throughout the world, God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll do that everywhere. It'll not just be on the streets of Red Deer. It'll be in Anders-on-the-Lake, and it'll be in the Rosedale, and it'll be in Costa Rica and in Africa. And Lord, that your message will sweep the world today, God. That your message will penetrate hardened hearts, God. That people will turn to you by the power of your Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Ken and Frida, why don't you come up, and we're eager to hear from you about your trip.
That we're even able to go. Some of you know me a little better and a little bit about my story. Some of you don't. I grew up in a dysfunctional home, just like a lot of you and most of you. Actually, four different foster homes. And when I was 4 years old, I went to Sunday school, and I heard that same truth, that Jesus loves me. And that was really the anchor of my life. And I didn't know much more. I didn't hear it at home. Jesus was a curse word. But I knew that basic foundation that Jesus loved me. And at the same time, a little bit older, but missionaries would come, and I just had this real desire to be able to go wherever and share that truth that Jesus loves you. And, God's awesome. And I just want to share a little bit. Often when God puts something in our hearts, the enemy will come along and try to steal that away. But we have a God that's bigger. Amen. And about 14, 15 years ago, went through an experience in a church where I was hurt, disillusioned, angry, very vulnerable. And I made a friendship with a lady there and through my work. And more and more and more, I was drawn away. I quit going to church. I withdrew from Christians. I avoided them like a plague. If I saw somebody I knew in a store, I'd go the opposite direction. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want them to ask me how I was doing because I was doing lousy, but I didn't want to be honest about it. And it was a course of about 6 years that this friendship continued in that way and I had a friend that cautioned me, and she said, be careful, she's out to destroy you. And my pride, I thought, no, I'm mature enough, I know, I'm okay. But very often in different events, those words came back, and I just cried out to God, please protect me. And it was probably about 6-7 years into this friendship, and it just, I drew away from Ken, I drew away from my family, alienated everybody I knew probably. And my friend and I were sitting around a campfire, and she looked at me and she said, I really like who you are becoming. And to me it was like looking at Satan himself at that moment. And I thought, no, I hate this person that I'm becoming. And in another whisper was, but I still love you. So I knew that God was still there. And, that's very powerful. And it was a journey back, and it was step by step. Just like the being drawn away was very, very subtle. It wasn't all at once. It was just little by little by little. And, that's usually how sin works. It's not, you don't step into it and jump into something. But little by little, you're deceived, and you believe the lies. And so it was kind of a journey back to God. And a few months later, we started coming to Potter's Hands, and it's been a journey since. But and then this summer, God just brought back some of that time. And just the depth of, how I hurt my family, how I hurt Ken, how I sinned against the Lord. But again, just found his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy. And to me, that's the good news that we have to share, that no matter what Satan brings against us, our God is bigger. Our God is greater. And we have to hold on to that truth. And as long as we're in the truth, God or Satan can throw his lies at us, but we have to be grounded. And don't isolate yourself, from others. I think really that was what made me vulnerable was, I had Christians that I associated with at work, but other than that, I isolated myself so much. Then our last trip to Costa Rica, we were there for 6 months, and we had 24/7 of being together, So it was kind of humorous in a way that God reversed a lot of what had happened, because I didn't know going into it. I was kind of scared because I thought, okay, what are we going to do? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 6 months, and a different culture, a different language. Didn't know if there'd be anybody else that I'd be able to talk to or understand me. So I think God really did a healing work in us and brought us together, and I just praise him for that.
Yeah, Brita told me last night a little bit of what she was going to share, and I didn't know if she was going to get into quite that much, and it's emotional to hear it. God is good. And, Frida has had a lot more to forgive me for than I've ever had to forgive her for. And thank God for his forgiveness and that we have. He's kept us together for how many years?
35.
I never was good with remembering numbers. I want to read two psalms. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. God is singing songs of deliverance over us. What does he sing? The next verse says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they'll not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Jesus is our righteousness. He is the one who makes us upright in our hearts. The other psalm I want to read is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Frida and I are looking forward to going back to Costa Rica January 3rd to February 26th, and not just because it's about 50 degrees warmer. This will be the fourth time we've been there in about 6 years. In 2011, we lived there for 6 months. During our last two visits, we wanted to be available to God to work in us and through us however he might choose. We want the same again this time. For some months now, over the last year or so, I've had a growing sense that I need to learn to listen to God. And it's becoming less of a should and more of a want to. Yet I've allowed myself to be too busy, and I don't think I've learned much yet. So I hope that in Costa Rica, I will spend more time with God and learn to listen to him. Amen. When we went in 2011, we planned to take a 6-week intensive Spanish course, and then we didn't know what we would do after that. Not having plans was really hard on me. But now I can see that the Lord led us according to his plans. Living in a different part of the world can be very challenging. And I let myself become pretty frustrated sometimes. Yet as we interacted with people who love the Lord, we experienced a lot of joy. And Frida was also a very tremendous blessing to me. Among other things, we taught 3 English classes in 3 different places. Some of our students were adults and some were children. All were a blessing to us, and especially the children. We were also able to do some activities with the same children on Sundays while their parents were listening to the sermon. And this was in a rural area called El Rincón de Paraíso de Cartago. After living there for 6 months, we know quite a few people who are involved in a lot of different ministries. Once again, we don't have plans. We'll trust the Lord leading us according to his plans. There are 2 areas that are especially on our hearts. We hope to spend more time with the children there. That little church out in the country had to move to a new location recently, and we thank God that they found a place where they can worship together. And this new location needs some work to make it usable. And the other area is called Los Guido. Some years ago, our friends William and Nadia were led of the Lord to purchase a property there. While we were there in 2011, they began to build a training center on this property. There's room to eventually increase the size of the building, but they do have a building that's usable now, and it has been used for adult discipleship training, activities for children, and sewing classes for young single mothers. The goal is to bring people to faith in Christ and give them skills that will enable them to climb out of their extreme poverty. Most of the people in that large, crowded neighborhood are immigrants, many of them illegal immigrants in Costa Rica from one place or another. William recently sent us updates on what they want to do next on that property in Los Guido. They need funds to have an alarm system installed and to build bathrooms. The alarm system is needed so they can start using computers that have been donated. Missionaries in other communities have found that teaching kids to use computers can be a very good thing. But without an alarm system, the computers would soon be stolen. A single man and his dog live in a tiny shack on that property, and the only bathroom is in his tiny living space. So for the ministries to continue and expand, it's essential to have bathrooms. William wrote us a brief greeting to you in Spanish because he doesn't speak English, and here's my translation. Dear brothers in Christ, we rejoice to hear about the comprehensive vision that you are developing in your church and of your missionary heart to take the gospel to other nations. I don't have trouble speaking to groups, but when the Holy Spirit is on me, I cry. I know it's him. Listening to your testimony motivates us to continue our work in poor communities and among immigrants here in Costa Rica. Thank you very much for your support through Ken and Frida Pike, who come and serve with us. God bless you. William Zapata, Christian Center for the Comprehensive Development of Los Guido, Costa Rica. And William also wrote that building those bathrooms would cost around $1,260, in case you're interested in how much it would be. The last 2 times we went to Costa Rica, we were privileged to take some money that you gave for their project in Los Guido, and they asked us to be sure to thank you. When we were going to return here, they asked us to bring greetings from them. And I've thought of two ways that you might want to send them greetings. Maybe you'd like to send them an encouragement card of some sort. When we went a few years ago, some of the kids from Potter's Hand sent Valentine cards to the kids in Costa Rica, since we knew we were going to be doing something on Valentine's Day with the kids there. Or maybe some of you would like to send them greetings by video. I have a video camera here if you would like to record something for me to take along and show them. If you would like to ask us other questions to learn about our ministries, about the ministries of our other friends there, please come and talk with us. We do have contacts with a couple of youth with a mission basis. Our friend Johan at One YWAM base organizes teams that go from house to house distributing Bibles, and he and his wife have a vision to start another YWAM base in another area of the country. And we have friends who work with Food for the Hungry, and my brother works with a Christian university there. So if you want to learn more, please don't hesitate to talk with us. Thank you.
I'm going to get in the middle here. Don't want to get in between you two, but I love it when the Holy Spirit's moving, and I'm the same way, you know, like we're these big, tough men that don't get emotional. Thank God that that's not true. Thank God that I just had this sense today while you were speaking that there's going to be a day coming when, and I don't know if it's going to be in the real world here or if it's going to be in the heavenlies when we're in that future kingdom, but we're going to meet some of these people and we're going to know each other, you know, because we know each other in Christ, and there's going to be a real sense of, you know, just appreciation and of community, and that we're connected. Even though we don't know these people right now, we are connected through God and through His Spirit, and we send these two out, and it's still a couple weeks before you go, and I believe we'll be able to have a prayer for you in ascending, you know, that Sunday as well, but we send you out, and we send you in that, you know, that message of grace that you're talking about, and that God is a God of love, and that He cares for people in Costa Rica. He cares for people, you know, in Red Deer and in every other place, and we need to pray. So let's just bow our heads. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, because this is genuine. It just strikes me as incredibly authentic. The calling that you have on the lives of Ken and Frida, and that you call them to go to a different country and to learn a language as best as they can to represent you as ambassadors of Christ. And God, I pray that you'll bless them and keep them and just let your face shine upon them. I pray that they will sense your good pleasure as they leave and as they spend some weeks there, God, and that they will see mighty works of God, that they will see that the seeds that are planted are increased by you 30 and 60 and 100 times, God, and we expect that and we believe it because your word says it. And I pray that you will provide every need and that you will just continue to open up hearts of people who are going to receive and hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'll empower Ken and Frida with the power of your Holy Spirit, and that the work that you've done in reconciling them to each other and to you will be a work that you'll continue to do in the lives of people in Costa Rica as they are reconciled to Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Father, we want to thank you for your love and your forgiveness and your mercy and your grace, and for the joy of being here worshiping you today. And thank you for Stan and his faithfulness in seeking you. And I just pray that as he brings your word to us, that you would anoint him and speak through him, and that each of us would be open and willing to listen and to fully trust and obey you, whatever you would say to each one of us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. So you have the video camera here?
Yeah.
So after church, you gotta want to give a little quick message. Find Ken, and you can actually give a visible message of encouragement to people that they're going to be with in a few weeks. And the other thing that strikes me is, you know, what is it, $1,200? You said $1,230 or $1,260 for providing a toilet. Can't we do that? Like, there's got to be a way to do that, right? So if you want to put it in an envelope or just mark it, and there's that little donation box by the sound booth. Any donations you put there and you mark, whether it's a check or whether it's in an envelope, let's try to come up with $1,200. If you don't have a toilet in your apartment or in your house, don't feel any obligation. But for the rest of us, you know, and maybe it's only a loony or a toonie, or maybe some of you can give $100 or more. But let's try to get behind this and bless that. And I think that's a wonderful and a great idea. Thank you, God. Help us to be a blessing here, Lord. I'm excited by that. I'm excited by how God is sending people out, and pray, God, that you'll continue to do that here. That we won't hoard our gifts, and we won't hoard our people, and we won't think that, Lord, we won't think that these are just our people, but that we will recognize that this is your people, and this is your ministry, and that you'll send them out, God, as you call them to different places throughout the world. Lord, do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there someone here today? And if not, that's okay, but I get this sense that there's someone here today who just really needs a healing. And I know this is unusual, but I just want to ask, I need to ask a question. Is there someone here today? Just stand up. If you need to be healed today of something in your life, just stand up. Okay. All right. There's 3 people, 4 people, something, 5 people, 6 people. All right. I just really sense that God wants to do a work of healing, 7 people. Okay, we're going to quit counting. Why don't you come to the front? We're going to pray. Let's just pray about this. I don't know exactly how to do this, but why don't you come to the front? Come on, we're going to ask for healing. There's a number of us that have been struggling. And so if Joya and Jill and if Tim and if if Mitch and Marina would come up, just come and stand. Stand around these people. We just need a few people who are healthy and a few people who have those gifts of healing. And, God says that we need to just come to him. So let's get in a big circle here. We stand together, amen? We stand together. Come on in, Jackson. It's time. It's time for healing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We need to be well, God. We believe, God, that you're the God who heals us. And you're the one who says that if we need to be healed, we should come and ask the elders and the leaders to pray, God. And so we're joining around these people right now, and in the name of Jesus, we pray for healing, God. And for some people, it might be cancer. For someone else, it might be a cold or a bad back or whatever it is, God. You know those things. And Lord, we just want to pray and call on your name. And Lord, just hear us now. Hear your children, Lord. Listen to your children as we pray and as we cry out to you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Pray, someone. Jesus. Jesus. Give you glory, God. We worship you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's your power, God. Just pray. For your glory, God. Yeah, just for your glory, God. You're the God who healeth. You're the God who heals. Thank you, God. Miss Layla. Jesus, God. Lord God. Thank you, God. Lord, as our hands are on these people, these are your people, and let them be your hands too, God. Let them be your hands, God, for your glory, God, not for any other purpose, but to glorify the living God, Lord. We need to be healthy. We need to be well, God. We want to carry on and do the work of Christ and do the work that you call us to do. So I pray, Lord, that you will help us to overcome the spirit of the flu and the cold and whatever it is, God, that drags us down. Thank you, God. Yeah, for fresh encouragement. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we receive this from you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Bless your name, God. God, for the inside things, I want to pray for that too, Lord. The emotional healing, for the tendency to fall into depression and to slide down, Lord, where we know is a dangerous place. I pray, God, for that emotional, that inner healing that needs to take place too, Lord. And there's some people who are standing in this circle right now who need that. I thank you that you are the God who takes care not only of our physical well-being, but you take care of our spiritual and our emotional well-being as well, God. And we surrender to you. We just surrender, God. That's all we can do. We just surrender and we lay down our lives before you, God, and ask you to just be the God who touches us and God who restores, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for that restoration, Lord. Restore, Lord. Restore relationships in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Al, would you come up? Praise God. Just keep praying. Pray. We want to be a praying church. Well, it better start right now. Because he lives. Can you do that song that you did earlier?
Sure.
We want to be a praying church. We want to believe and know that only God can do these things. Only God. Because he's alive. Because he's a God of power. Thank you, God.
He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon, and an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Yeah, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Yeah. And then one day I'll cross that river and fight life's final war with pain. But then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I know he lives. All because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river and fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll feel the lights of glory, and I know He lives, yeah. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, Lord, all fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
You may be seated. Because He lives. Because He lives. My Jesus is alive. I have victory even over death, right? I was visiting with someone in a hospital this week, and I said, are you afraid to die? And she said, yes, I'm really afraid to die. And I said, well, I got good news for you. You don't need to be afraid anymore. All you need to do is trust in Jesus and ask Him into your heart, because there's a promise. And the promise is that even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for You are with me. Amen? I don't need to be afraid. I got a God, I got a Christ who's gone on before me. He's been on this road long before I ever got on it. And He knows where it ends. Thank You, Jesus. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank You, God. Praise You, Jesus. Lord, as we open Your word, just pray that we'll hear You. I pray that Your word will be clear. I pray that it will be Your word and not man's word. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will direct truth into our hearts, and we'll be drawn closer to You and be reminded of what amazing things You've done in our lives as You've transformed us and changed us, God. Continue to do that changing work in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, you know where we're going here, so you probably have 2 Samuel or 1 Samuel already open. Read with me in 1 Samuel chapter 10 today. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Excuse me. And you can see that, you know, we've been talking also about Christmas. Isn't that beautiful? Look at that manger scene. We thank you, Kit, for all the work you did on that. But it just brings that aura. It brings the reminder again of what this season is all about. And I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that. I get carried away sometimes with all the other stuff and all the tinsel and the glitter that is what the season shouldn't be about at all. We're going to look today at Jesus. We're going to be reminded of the sign of the Christ and of His coming. And we're reading in chapter 10, and it's about the anointing of King Saul. We talked last week about how the people demanded a king, and Saul will be their first king. And he's recognized as the king through Samuel, who anoints him. You need to know that the context of this is that Saul, it's kind of a queer little, odd little story, that Saul is out looking for donkeys because there's some donkeys from his father's herd that have been missing. And we read, if you have your Bibles, chapter 10 of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10, that then Samuel took a flask of oil and he poured it on Saul's head and he kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over His inheritance? And when you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin, and they will say to you, the donkeys you set out to look for have been found. And now your father has stopped thinking about them, and he's worried about you. And he's asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying 3 goats, another 3 loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. And when they greet you, then they will greet you and offer you 2 loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. And as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. And once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. And as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God, get this now, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled on that day. We're just going to stop at that point. It's about the signs that God gives us sometimes. And sometimes God works in that kind of a remarkable way that he gives us signs and he shows us his purpose, he shows us his will. And we see that different times in the scriptures where God uses signs to point out, you know, the things that are important. Revelation, God uses signs sometimes in Revelation. And in this case, you get this long, drawn-out story about Saul, and I almost start giggling when I read it because it's like he goes, okay, here's what's going to happen, Saul. You don't need to look for the donkeys anymore. But what I want you to do is you go to this one place, and there's going to be three men. You'll meet three men there. But then that's all. You go from there to another place where there's the tree of Tabor. And at the tree of Tabor, you'll meet, two men. You'll meet three men at the tree of Tabor. And at the tree of Tabor, there'll be one of those guys will have three goats. One of them will have a flask of wine. And one of them will have three loaves of bread. And the one who has the three loaves of bread, and this is a sign to you, Saul, so you'll know that what I'm telling you is the truth. The one who has three loaves of bread will give you two of the loaves of bread. And when I start reading this and I hear this, I start going back and I start sweating a little bit. So I go back to grade 9 math. And it just reminds me of, you know, Farmer Brown had 7 chickens. And he took the 7 chickens on a train and he went from Philadelphia to New York. And he left at 2:00 in the afternoon and he took 4 of those chickens and he put them on the train from New York and they went to Chicago. And the question is, how old was Farmer Brown's wife? Because that's kind of how I read this. There's going to be these three guys, and one guy's going to have three goats, and one guy's going to have, you know, three loaves of bread, and you're going to take these two loaves of bread. And it's just this big math problem. Thankfully, you know, it's not a math problem. It is that God works sometimes through signs. And that the next thing he says is so pertinent and so important. He says, and you know what, Saul? After that, you will go to Gibeah of the Lord, and there you will see people who are playing their tambourines and their lyres, and they're worshiping God, and they're prophesying. And Saul, at that point, and here's the real sign to you, Saul, this is a sign from the Lord, you will start prophesying. And I love the verse where he says, and you will be changed, Saul. The power of the Holy Spirit will be upon you, and you will be changed into a different man. I'm glad he doesn't say, I'm going to be changed into a donkey or into one of those other things. He says, no, you will be changed, Saul. This will be a sign unto you. You will be changed into a different person. Changed into a different person. You say, thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, God. God works through signs, and he shows himself so often, you know, through signs and wonders and describing his revelation and opening, you know, ways of opening our eyes so that there's confirmation. I think that's really what's happening here. This is confirmation for Saul that you, Saul, are to be the king. You are to be the Lord's anointed. We see that, I think, especially in the coming of Christ, and so much of the Old Testament points to, in a prophetic voice, it points to the coming of Jesus. And that there will be signs that come with Jesus' birth and with his coming. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, we're told that this will be a sign to you. That a virgin will be with child. You know, remember, this is like 600-700 years before Jesus was even born. Here's the sign, he says, that will be to you. That a virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son. And she will call him, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. That's the sign, get it? The sign of Christ. And In Matthew chapter 2, no, sorry, Luke chapter 2, we got a story about of Jesus' birth. And we're told there that in the town of David, Matthew 2, I believe it's verse 11, in the town of David, a baby, a child will be born to you, you know, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, the angel says, that you will find the babe, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes or wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This will be the sign to you. There's a sign of the coming of Christ in his birth. And we know that there's lots of scripture that also talks about the signs that are going to come or that are here even right now with the coming of Christ again. Signs, that's one of the things that we need to understand. The signs that God gives are almost always, and maybe not always, but most of the time, the signs are signs that point to Christ. They're signs that are pointing to his coming. They're signs to affirm and to remind us and to help us to acknowledge that this is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and he is my Savior. Okay? So the signs, and it's important that we understand it because I think sometimes we use all these signs pretty flippantly and casually. You need to understand that in the scriptures, the signs almost inevitably point to the Savior. And that we need to be careful that we're not worshiping the signs, but that we're worshiping the Savior. Do you understand? You get that? We worship a Savior. The pursuit of my life isn't the signs all around, but the pursuit of my life and the pursuit of my heart is Jesus Christ. I don't love the signs. I'm glad there's signs. I'm glad God speaks that way and God shows and reveals himself that way. But my love and the passion of my heart isn't for the signs, it's for Jesus. It's for the Savior. It's for him. You know, there's times that, you know, God's worked in my life and he's given something that's just an encouraging, some kind of a sign. But when I think back on those examples in my life, they've always been about Jesus, always. I can remember not even maybe 9 months ago when we had a meeting together. We prayed and we were going to go to city council, and there were about 50 of us that went to city council to convince them that we could have a church here because they didn't want us to have a church here. When I left that morning from my house and I drove up the road, there was this beautiful sun just rising up over the road. It was right in the middle of the road, and this huge, beautiful red sun. And for me, and I think signs sometimes are just for me. That was just an encouragement. It was just God saying to me, don't worry. I am the God who makes the sun rise. You don't need to worry about city council. I do far greater things than what you can even imagine. God gives us those kind of signs. I can remember another example that when Crystal and I went away and we prayed for a week and we were asking God to restore us to ministry and feeling very much that God wanted that to happen. And we went away and we prayed very much for a whole week. We prayed, we prayed, we prayed. And we prayed that God would show and reveal and give us a sign of what he wanted us to do, that when I came home, and I may have said this story a month ago, I don't remember anymore, but we came home, and where I worked at the time, on the fax machine, when I came to work that Monday morning, there was a picture of the kitchen where Potter's Hands is now, of that building, and that it was for sale, and that God made it incredibly clear that this is a sign, this is a confirmation. But Stan, it's not about you. It's about Christ, and it's about ministry, and it's about lives that will be changed. That God gives us the signs, okay? I understand that, and I want to affirm that in you today. But I also want to make, a valuable point, and that's that the signs need to point to Jesus, and that we worship the giver, you know, not the gift. We worship the giver, and that we worship Christ, and that it needs to be about Christ, and that his birth, which we celebrate so vigorously and enthusiastically this time of the year, that his birth was preceded by signs, as well as his coming again will be preceded by a number of signs that give us the confirmation and the revelation that he is indeed coming. Amen? Thank you, God. We need to be careful about signs, because they can be subjective and arbitrary, And sometimes we do, you know, okay, God, give me a sign. And, you know, and it's not from God at all. It's just something we're making up in our heads. People who say, and I've heard this from people, saying things like, oh, God, I really want to buy this house, God. And so I want a sign, Lord. Give me the sign that you want me to buy this house. Someone actually told me this one day. And they said, so what I did is this. I got up in the morning and I said, God, if the first stoplight I get to is green, if the first stoplight I get to is green, I know you're saying, yes, go ahead. You know what that is? That is not a sign. That is superstition. And if you want to know what God thinks about superstition, look it up. But he's not big on it. You know, he's not big on it. So even the word of God, even Jesus' words, when he talks about signs, there's warnings that come with it. We need to be careful, that we need to be diligent, that we need to be prayerful about what we think we're getting from God, because it may not be from God at all. And as a matter of fact, some of the strongest warnings against the Antichrist and against the deceiver, Satan, include signs. I want to just share a couple of passages with you because we need this warning. If we're going to hear the whole message, you need to hear the warning as well. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew 24, verse 24 says this. Matthew 24, verse 24 says this. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and will perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. So there can be false signs. We can be deceived. By the enemy who will make it look like this is God confirming this, but it may not be God confirming it at all. And we need to be aware. We need to be in tune with God's Holy Spirit. And in 2 Thessalonians, if you can just put that up here too, if you have it. In 2 Thessalonians, it says this, the coming of the lawless one, and we're talking about the enemy, about Satan, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. Did you see that? There'll be all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to believe the truth and so be saved. We need to believe the truth. Who is the truth? Thank you. Jesus is the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. We need to put our faith in Jesus and not in signs. Signs are great, and it might be one of the ways that God uses to reveal himself. But my faith needs to be in Jesus. I need to love the truth. I need to have a passion. I need to pursue the truth. And he is a person. He is Jesus Christ. He is Christ. Right? And when I start to love the gift more than the giver, I get into quicksand. I get into a dangerous place because I just don't always know. You know, I know that I'm weak and I know that I'm fallible. I know that I can sometimes think things or conjure things up in my head that aren't even true at all. And here's the wonderful thing. I can speak to the church today and say, here's the wonderful thing. We have such a great advantage over Saul and over Samuel. And even over the people who lived in Jesus' day. You know why? Because we have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have, Jesus said, true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. I know what God's will is. I know how he reveals himself because he reveals himself in his Word. And he reveals himself through his Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean he might still not have signs or other ways, other indicators, other little encouragements. He knows that we need that sometimes. But man, I've got the revelation of God. I can move in the Holy Spirit. I can go back to God's word and say, now, is this true? Is this right? Is God really saying this? Is this confirmed and is it affirmed by this truth of God's word? We have the word. We have the Spirit. You know, we have God's revelation. I'm so glad that I don't need to live like that anymore. I don't need to live like they did in the Old Testament where they're always, you know, is this a sign or is this God or is it not God? And I want to say to you also this morning that sometimes we're asking God for signs, and I'm not saying it's bad to ask God for signs, But sometimes we're asking God for signs, and he says back to us, you don't need a sign for that. I've already told you what's truth. I've already told you what you should do. You say, well, Lord, give me a sign. I want to marry this man. God, make it clear to me. You know, just give me a sign. And God goes, I already told you that you should not be yoked unequally with unbelievers. You don't need a sign. You know what my word says. Or we say, Lord, there's this neighbor, and I don't like her at all, and she's a real pain in the apartment, and you know what she's doing, God. You know all the noise that she's causing, but I'm feeling in my heart that maybe you want me to bring her a meal. So God, give me a sign. Should I do that or shouldn't I do that? And I think God goes, I already told you to love your neighbor as yourself. Like, why do you need a sign? Read the word. It's there. Or God, I'm thinking about going on a mission trip. I'm thinking I'm going to maybe go and serve you and spread good news and deal with some people who don't even have toilets. God, should I do that or shouldn't I do that? Will you give me a stoplight? Will you give me something to so that I know? And I think God just, sometimes he throws his hands up in the air and he goes, didn't I tell you to go out into all the world? You need a sign? You need confirmation? You need confirmation to not go into all the world. I've told you to go, so go. I've told you to go to all the nations, so go. You understand? Excuse this illustration, but it's one that's been going through my head all week. It's like, you know what a witching stick is? I hate the name even of a witching stick, but you know, people who, old timers particularly, who apparently, and I'm not going to say they do or they don't, but they find water, right? And they do this, and you know, where's the water? Where's the water? Where do we dig a well? Sometimes I think we look like that as Christians, that instead of getting into the Word, instead of really listening to the Holy Spirit, we're doing, oh God, show me, you know, where are you tugging, Lord? Where are you tugging? What are you doing? And God just goes, I've already showed you. I have revealed to you my Christ. I have revealed to you my Son who died for you. He is Emmanuel, God with you. There is a child who was born, and the sign of that child, that today there's good news for all of mankind, for the whole world, because for unto you today, a child has been born who is Christ the Lord. And that is the sign. That is the sign of your salvation. There is one sign in my life that I know for sure. And that is that I have a converted heart. So you can talk about all kinds of other things. And some of them, and I hear from you sometimes, some of you go, well, I got this sign, or I think God's saying this, or why don't I think God wants you to do that. I really have, anyways. But I'll tell you what, here's something I know for sure. Here's a sign that I can say unequivocally, and that is that I know that my heart has been converted. That my heart's not the same. It is a sign of a heart that's been changed because of Jesus Christ. And I look over the faces here. I know that there's a lot of you, most of you, who can say the same thing. I am not the same as I used to be. I am changed. I'm not doing that meth anymore. I'm not going after those prostitutes anymore. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I am changed, just like Saul was changed, that he was changed into a completely new person because the power of the Holy Spirit had come upon him. Isn't that great? Yeah. Thank you, God. There's one thing, one sign that I'm really interested in, and that's a sign of a converted heart. One thing I know is that I was lost, but now I'm found because God's amazing grace. You say amen?
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen.
That's better. That's better. I know what I was like before. Some of you know what I was like before too, and you're doing this. That guy, you know, yeah. It's funny, I got this happens very seldom. I had a phone call 2 days ago from a guy who I went to seminary with. I haven't seen him or his wife for 27 years, and we're going to meet this week. And they happen to be in Central Alberta. And we were buddies back in seminary days. We hung out for 8 years, 4 years in pre-sem and 4 years in seminary. We went, studied Greek and Hebrew and did all kinds of tomfoolery things. But thinking about it and thinking about meeting up with him, It just really been hitting me that I'm not the same as I was back then. I'm not the same guy. We used to sit and smoke our pipes. And we had our little leather briefcases. Everyone looked like little drones. We all had the same thing. We smoked our pipes and we pontificated over the difference between superlapsarianism and ultralapsarianism. And we argued late into the night. And I was a real arguer back then. I know some of you think, well, you're still an arguer, but not like that. You didn't know me back then. We argued about whether women should be silent in the church. And I had strong opinions. And I'm not that same, listen to me, I'm not that same person anymore. I'm not saying that I'm changed completely, that God's not, he's still changing me. There's still things that need to happen in my life. But I am not that same man that I was back in 1984. Because God has changed my life. Back then, I believed in Jesus, but I didn't have the Holy Spirit in my life. I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit was quenched in my life. He was cut off. I didn't allow him to flow through me. And all I'm saying is thank God. Thank God that I'm not that same person. And the sign that's important to me is a sign of a repentant and a regenerated heart, thanks to Jesus Christ. Jerry talks about that. Jerry talks about how he's not the same guy that he was before. And I've heard him say it many times. And I know that's true of Jill. And I know that's true of a lot of you. That God changes us so that we are radically different. We are radically changed. I love how it says in that verse that he changed Saul into a completely different person. And I stand there saying it. You know, I am a different person than I was. Thank God for that. And I just say, Lord, keep changing me, whatever you want me to do, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you have worked on the pride and the arrogance in this man, and I pray that you'll just keep doing that. Jerry talks about how he was a drunken hillbilly. He was a drunken, stinking, gun-carrying, moonshine-drinking hillbilly. That's pretty accurate, right, Jerry? Pretty close. And I want to say, thank God today that now he is just a spirit-filled hillbilly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you change us. Thank you, God. And that's what the sign is of the manger is what the sign is of this baby who is Emmanuel. This is a sign to you. Get this, guys, he says. This is a sign to you. A virgin will be with child, and she will name her son Emmanuel. God with us. There's signs everywhere right now. There's the signs of the season. You see them, right? 30% off. That's what the sign says. Buy one, get one free. So the sign says 16 more shopping days to Christmas. The sign says midnight madness sale. Don't miss it. Or today, we can choose to look at what the real sign is. That it's the real sign of a repentant and a regenerate heart. That the real sign says, I am the Christ. And I've come to forgive you of your sins. I've come to set you free from your past. And I have come to make you a completely different person. Can you say thank you, Lord? Thank you, God. I want to ask, there's a few of you, next week we're going to have a baptism service. We're going to put a tank somewhere in here, and we're going to baptize whoever wants to be baptized. And baptism is a sign that I belong to God. Baptism is a sign that my sins are washed away, and I no longer own those sins, but that sin has been cleansed from me. And I love that baptism also means belonging. It means belonging. You know, when Jesus was baptized, the Father shouted, you know, the heavens open, and the Father shouted, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am so well pleased in." That's what's happening. It's what's going to happen next Sunday, that God's going to say that to you. This is my beloved. You're my beloved son, or you're my beloved daughter. And I'm so pleased with you because you have been radically changed. Your heart has been converted, and because you are a different person than you were. This morning, I know there's a few people missing, but those of you who said that you want to get baptized, or maybe you haven't said it, but you want to get baptized, I want you to come up so we can pray for you. I believe it is vital that we do some praying this week. And that each of us look at the ones who are coming up here and that you pray for them. You pray for them because there's a battle going on for their souls. So come on up, Tim and Denise and Rick. Come on up. Yeah. Okay. I love it. Okay, so he's saying God's leading him and laying it on his heart that we can give up something this week so that we pray better, so that we pray more focused. So fast and pray for these people. Here we go. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We are going to pray for these individuals. We're going to ask God to cleanse them and for them to become radically new, radically changed. Yeah, there we go. And there's a couple. Blair's not here today, and there's a couple more. I'm not remembering everyone's name. Is there anyone else? You want to get baptized? You haven't been baptized? You want to get this new start? There's already, you know, six people up here. If you want that, why don't you come right now? Come up for prayer. Come up for, you know, just this acknowledgement that it's time for you to be someone completely different than you have been. You coming up, Leon? Amen. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah! First, you got to come here. I love you. Just wait a minute. You got to hear this. He comes up to me almost every week, or he's done this at least a couple times. He says, "I can tell you all about Samuel. I've been here for how many weeks?
24 weeks.
Has that sermon series been going on for that long?" And he says, "Well, it starts with Elkanah and Hannah, right?
Yeah.
And they can't have any babies." And he goes and he tells me the whole story as much as I have time to listen to. Leon, I got to tell you something. God's got a hold of you, man. God loves you, right? Amen. And it's time. It's time that God brings out the real Leon. It brings out the new, the regenerated, the completely different man of God that you're going to become. All right. Anyone here who's one of our leaders, one of our nine leaders, would you just come and we want to join and just pray for all these people who are up here. So come on up and help me in this. We're going to end our service in this. And I think Cody has a song that we're going to end with, but we're just going to pray. Will you join me in this? This is important work. This is important work. Baptism is a sign and a seal. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm washed in his blood, right?
Amen.
I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that old life anymore. I'm here to live for Jesus Christ, and that by the power, listen, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's going to make you completely different in a good way. You're loved. Yeah. Crystal, hey.
Father, thank you that you are the one who changed.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Lorraine, would you pray?
Father, how do we thank you for these dear ones, Lord, who want to enter into a new life. And so, Father, we rejoice with them. And God, we pray that in this next week you'll make it so very real to them.
Yes, God.
That they can't wait to get here. They can't wait to go down into the waters of baptism and come out and be new and fresh.
Yeah.
God, a life that you have called them to, a life of fulfillment and meaning and purpose. So God, we are with them.
Yes.
And Father, we will pray for them this week. And
yes, God.
We will rejoice voice as they find their way along, taking on the mind of Christ, Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, thank you for each one of these dear ones.
Yeah.
What a blessing. What a miracle. And, Father, we are full of joy.
Amen.
At the work of your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Grab the mic. Let's grab the mic. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
You are worthy, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just want to thank you for each one, God, that you rescue each one of us, Lord God, have called upon your name, Lord God. We are caught in the snares of the enemy, Lord God, and we are sinking, Lord God, and we had no way out, Lord God. There was no way out for us, but God, you rescued us.
Hallelujah.
God, you came down and you rescued each one who has called upon your name, Lord God. And there are many here, Lord God, some, Lord God, that have not called upon your name. God, may it be so today, Lord God, and in this season, Lord God, that recognizes your birth, Lord God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, just come upon people, Lord God, that have put this off, Lord God. They put it off, they put it off, they put it off, thinking that they have a year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years. But God, your word declares that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, Lord God. So draw them by the power of your Spirit. Amen. I pray for these brothers, these sisters that are going to be going into water baptism, Lord God. Hallelujah. We thank you for them, that each of us, I have taken that step too, Lord God. But God, it was life-changing, Lord God. Change the direction of our lives, Lord God. So I just pray for these ones, Lord God, that you've called forth.
Hallelujah.
And there may be others that are coming, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Draw them into the waters of baptism, Lord God, that they may experience your power, your presence in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Lord God. Hallelujah. That you've called us, Lord God. That many of us are not strong. Many of us are not well-educated, but God, you call the weak things to confound the wise, Lord God. Hallelujah. So we just thank you that we fit in that category. Every last one of us, Lord God, you've called us, Lord God. Hallelujah. And we bow our knees before you,
God,
the living God, the true and the living God. For there is no other God beside you, Jesus, but you and you alone. So bless my brothers this week. Protect them.
Yes.
Lord God, let not the work of the enemy come nigh their dwelling in Jesus' mighty name. We cover them with the blood of Jesus, Lord God.
Yes.
Cover each one, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I love you. I love you, God. Wow. God is great. God is mighty.
Your dwelling.
Make sure you're here next Sunday, girl.
Oh Lord Almighty,
yes, just bring a change of clothing. So it's going to be a whole
for my
amazing
soul.
Thing amazing. Brand new life. Brand new life. It's time. It's time. What you can't remember what I thought. You think this is good?
It's satisfied within your presence. I sit beneath the shadow.